This is Reception Perception, the show. James Coe and Matt Harmon.
All right, I tell you what, man, let's get right into it. I want to start here with Jackson Dart. 54.8% success rate versus man. The average is around 60%, so well below that average. Much better versus zone. 76.4% success rate versus zone, slightly above the 75% average we look for our quarterbacks. What's the top line message that you would send to Giants fans in regards to Jackson Dart?
Well, Giants fans, I wish I had better news. I think Jackson Dart has a lot of hurdles that he's going to need to overcome in this second year. Most notably is going to be the processing, the speed in which things are getting processed. And oddly enough, for a guy who seems to exude confidence, doesn't quite have all that same confidence when he's actually on the field. And then with the Giants, I mean, you've got all these questions right now with injuries everywhere from the backfield to the receiver room. You got new coaches, new offense. There's a lot there, man. So Jackson Dart's going to have his work cut out for him in 2026.
Can you talk about and expand on the confidence there? Because I read the piece. It's just he kind of sort of double clutches when throwing to certain areas of the field. Expand on the whole confidence conversation, because I know Jackson Dart fans, Giants fans, are going to hear that and say, what is this guy talking about, man? This guy's aura is off the charts. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you talked about, too, like his success rate against man coverage. And there's just a lot of times where Jackson Dart really wants to see it open. And then there's other times where even when he does see it open, he's just not taking that shot over the middle of the field all that often. Particularly, he's good at deep middle, but we're talking about intermediate areas of the field where I want to see him hit a backside dig. I want to see him be able to just sit in the pocket, evaluate the secondary, and be able to go through his reads. And oftentimes the reason, like you're saying, that he will have this really high success rate against zone is because he's hitting a lot of these quick routes, these flats, these outs, passes that are going to get the ball out of his hands really fast, where a corner or whoever's going to be there is going to be pretty far off the receiver. So he's able to hit these little pockets, but what I want to see him do is win in other ways and be a bit more of the complete quarterback.
Okay, let's talk about how his fit might be here with a Matt Nagy offense, which not ideal. It is not ideal. I mean, Matt Nagy, of all offensive coordinators, has he ever elevated somebody? You know, it's like, just elevate someone, anyone. I'm so confused by the addition of Matt Nagy at the offensive coordinator position, because I tell you what, man, the Giants had a lot of time. They had a lot of time to go find their guy, and they settled on a guy in Matt Nagy that, again, has proven time and time and time again, he has not, and I don't think he has ever, elevated the quarterback play of any team that he has been on. So talk about what Jackson Dart's role might be in Matt Nagy's offense.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, looking back at Matt Nagy and what he's been able to do, he's been getting a lot of credit for Patrick Mahomes' rise in his career, right? And then we've kind of seen him with other quarterbacks, and he has a good first year with Mitch Trubisky. And then after that, we kind of see it's consistently bottom 10 offenses with the Bears. And I hate to do this, but there's going to be the comparisons drawn because of their style of play, because of their kind of all or nothing mentality as passers and the way they get a little frantic under pressure. I see a lot of Justin Fields when we're looking at Jackson Dart. And we got to see multiple years of Justin Fields with Matt Nagy. And like you're saying, you never really see the guy get elevated. You kind of just saw a lot of the same. And that's something that I wish we could see more of, especially considering the Giants actually have a very good offensive line. They have a lot of pass catchers. I wouldn't say a lot of them are great, but they have a lot of pass catchers. I don't know that we're going to see the Matt Nagy offense all of a sudden bring Jackson Dart to that next level.
Let's talk about his deep throws a little bit, Jackson Dart, because again, we talk about some of the some of the productivity that, hesitation that he's got thrown to intermediate middle. When you look on a route by route basis too, 28.6% success rate on the 9 route. That is, that is not tenable, man. 26.7% success rate versus on post routes. Again, these are not tenable numbers, man. Like when I saw that, At first, I did a double take because I thought, okay, is that like route percentage or success rate? And no, it was success rate, 28.6% success rate on the nine, 26% success rate on the post. My goodness gracious, not getting it done, at least especially on those particular routes when we're talking about throwing deeper routes.
Yeah, and one thing that always gets pointed out to me is, you know, the Giants fans, they do not like me right now, but it's okay. We're going to work on our relationship. It's going to get better. A lot of people like to point out, it's like, hey, man, did you see who he was throwing to? Like, that would be the success rate. The good thing about reception perception is we kind of get to look at this independent of who they're throwing to. Is the ball accurate? Is it on time? Is it in the right place? It wasn't. Like, it just wasn't always there, especially on the nines. And what's crazy is that he threw deep attempts at the highest rate in the class, however, had the worst success rate class of these quarterbacks. And so the reason I kind of give that all or nothing label to him is that he loves to take these shots downfield, but oftentimes it's just kind of, let's chuck it up and see where it goes. I remember starting the film and the first thing I see is him just tossing a ball up to Jalen Hyatt. And I'm like, that's not the dude you want to throw a 50-50 ball to, man. Like there's just got to be some better decisions being made. And yeah. I know they have some of their new pass catchers there, you know, Malachi Fields, Isaiah Likely, or some bigger bodies there. Maybe that'll help and it'll kind of make him recalibrate where he's throwing to in the field.
I don't know. I think I want to like repeat that for the people in the back. You know, it's like, again, they're going to see the numbers and they always, and again, people who are new to reception perception say this all the time. Like, well, again, it's like you said, look at who he is throwing to. And it's like, no, guys, you have to understand, these charting numbers are somewhat independent of the guys that he is throwing to. It's about location. It's about timing. It's, again, just, is he putting the ball in a spot that his guy can go and make a play? And just far too often, like you said, 28.6% on the... Dude, actually, when I look at the heat map, Jackson Dart, yo, 0% success rate. On the deep left, like, yo, what is going on? That's a crazy number.
Wild. It's absolutely wild, man. And there's just like parts of the field that Jackson Dart either won't throw to,
right,
or he can't complete the passes there. And that deep left, man, I honestly need to go back, because when we finished and I was like, zero? Yeah, that's crazy.
That is insane.
Like, I kind of want to go back and see each of those passes to the deep left.
Can I also say this to our listeners out here? We have, like, not only have Alfredo Brown, we double check these numbers. We got a second charter who goes through and, like, you know, kind of corroborates a lot of these numbers. 0%, bro, to the deep left. That is absolutely insane. And also, let me just say this too. I just wonder, and maybe you can expand on this. I'm not a quarterback's guy, man. Can you talk about his footwork here a little bit? Because I do think that when you throw as a right-handed quarterback, when you do have to throw to the left, you've got to shift your feet just a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're more likely to see stuff develop on the right-hand side because you're throwing right-handed. It takes a little bit extra footwork, not much, but just a little bit to throw to the left-hand side. And then when you look at the heat map, really, truly, the left side is significantly worse than the right side. Is there something to the footwork there?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the footwork. It's also just the processing, right? Like, oftentimes, he's not going to be having to look left first in terms of his reads. And that's a great point. There's not enough time. So, like, for a guy like Jackson Dart, who the Giants' offensive line was really good, he did not have to play out of structure all that often. 10.8% of his throws came outside of the pocket, lowest amongst this class. That's why I say... Yeah, you'd actually think the opposite, because he's known for running the football. Exactly. However, when it came to passing, he wanted to make the simple reads, the quick reads, and it just wasn't always happening. So I was really surprised on that. And when we talk about his actual technique, the mechanics, this is the kind of boring stuff, but the sickos really like this. There's certain things that he does, especially on the deep ball, where I notice where his mechanics do need to adjust a little bit. Rather than pushing off that back foot sometimes, he does a sort of up and down motion instead of a back and forward motion to really launch that football. And then there's often times where that ball is going to hang in the air way too long for a guy that actually has a strong arm. Like, you see complete passes on shorter and you can see the zip on the pass. And then I don't know if there's just an uncomfortability with it, where maybe at Ole Miss, the guy was always open and that was just the easy deep ball to throw, that now he's kind of like, I'm just going to keep putting it up. And that's sort of where he lands in that 50-50 zone.
Okay, so talking about what it might look like for 2026, we talked about Matt Nagy here. Having John Harbaugh, I think, is a bonus. Again, I don't love the offensive coordinator selection, but I think having John Harbaugh is a steadying force. An adult in the room is what Matt and I have talked about in regards to John Harbaugh. But that being said, I just felt like, look, they need to get Malik Nabers back. And it sounds like with the injury, he will be very slow to come back. We might not see the actual full version unleashed of Malik Nabers here in 2026, but they go and add Malachi Fields. They add Darnell Mooney. They add Isaiah Likely. This is along with Cam Scadabaugh coming back from a significant major injury. It's not the best collection of weapons. You know, you throw my boy Darius Slayton into the mix here as well. But Malachi Fields is a guy that's a contested catch guy. Like basically what I'm pointing to here, Alfredo, is that Jackson Dart, his best target, most available, most open target might be a tight end in Isaiah Likely. And to me, that's scary.
Yeah, it's super scary. And it's also like the fact too, is that he's got, I'd say almost three of the same guy between Isaiah Likely, Malachi Fields, and Theo Johnson, that they're all very similar in size, speed, and the way they run their routes. And they're all kind of good at the same thing. The good news is that they're all kind of good at the same thing that Jackson Dart likes. He likes to hit those post routes. He likes to hit corners and he wants to go for nines. Malachi Fields, despite not testing really well at the combine, is actually a very good deep ball tracker. And he was crushing at the Senior Bowl in one-on-ones, which I know kind of everyone does, but if you're slow, you usually don't win against man coverage on a deep ball like that. Right. So I think there is some hope there. I can definitely see this offense utilizing a lot of flood concepts where, you know what, let's get Jackson Dart rolling out of the pocket a bit more. Let's get him more comfortable where we can make the reads simpler for him. And we can have three big bodies kind of hitting different levels, the short, intermediate, and deep. And when you have those three guys, I think what you can do is you can disguise more things in your offense, and that's going to help them. Where I get worried is the clutch situations, which we chart, which is, you know, third downs, late in games, and a lot of those clutch situations, you would think Jackson Dart is going to target Malik Nabers. Without Malik Nabers there, I don't know that the clutch situations, these third down throws, are going to get any better from him, and he was already worst amongst this class, 31.4%, worst, 10% worse than Shadur, 32% worse than Cam Ward. Like, it just wasn't, it wasn't good in those moments. And I think that's where, if Dart is going to take the next step, this new coaching staff has to be better at finding what makes him comfortable and what's going to help him succeed in those tight spots.
It's those tight spots, those clutch throws too, where that man score, I think, really shows itself, right? And again, going back to the roster, it's not fully independent, but it is, you know, somewhat independent here. That being said, it is fair to point out that you lose Malik Nabers, you lose Cam Scadabaugh. You know, it was dead man walking out there, man. You get a head coaching change. It was a mess, absolute mess in New York. But that being said, I still look at the roster. I don't see a guy who is a good man separator. Right, like Malachi Fields, not a good man separator. Darnell Mooney, not a good man separator. Isaiah Likely's a tight end. Theo Johnson's a tight end. Like, where are we going to get some improvements against man? Because that truly, when you're talking about third, fourth down, when you talk about in the clutch, you got to go make a throw. Generally, it's against man coverage. So I'm struggling here to see where they are going to get those big time throws. And I don't know. It sounds like you're kind of hesitant in terms of seeing some growth in that area too.
Yeah. And I was kind of hoping that, you know, which one of these guys is going to be the Drake May? I hate that we do this, but we all do it. It's like, sure, who's going to be this next guy going into this year? And especially from like the fantasy football angle of it too. This guy can run. Maybe he can throw. Let's see what's going on. And you just dive into the film and I was surprised, but not in a good way. And I think if we don't have a healthy Malik Nabers, it is just going to make that development that much more challenging for Jackson Dart.